Hey everyone, this is Jessica with Microsoft. Today I'm going to do a video on Azure Container Service and specifically intro into Docker containers and networking using Docker Swarm in conjunction with Azure. One thing to note is that regardless of the orchestrator you're using, whether that's Azure Container Service on Azure or whether you're using it from a different cloud provider, the commands we go over today should be the same. There's just a few things that might be a little more specific to Azure that we're going to go ahead and review. In short, there's three different ways that you can make containers talk to each other using Docker or Docker Swarm. One is going to be legacy container links. The next is going to be user-defined networking, bridge network, overlay network, and then you can also use a Docker Compose file. It is important to note that legacy container links is a deprecated feature, and you can actually, here's the original documentation from Docker directly for each one of these three methods, and you can go read up on it. So because Docker container links is a deprecated feature, it is a legacy feature, it's also prone to error. It's not necessarily recommended, but it is a method that will work, and so we're going to go ahead and review it. Any of the samples you see today is actually available on my GitHub at my GitHub handle, which is jldean, and then you can go to acs_net demo. So now we're going to go on with the demo of actually how to link, how to share data securely from one container to another. An example would be if you have a web app, say a WordPress site, and you need to be able to access a database, say a MySQL database, how do you get those two containers to talk to each other and share data back and forth? So we have a resource group that I created for the purpose of this demo. I haven't done anything to configure it. You can see all the various resources that I have available. One thing to note is you'll see here that you have two load balancers. You have one for your Swarm agent and one for your Swarm master. With each load balancer, you have a different public DNS. And this is important because when you originally did your deployment, you might have seen the output underneath your deployments here. Your fully qualified domain name and your SSH master as being your user account and then whatever the name of your resource group is. Management at the location, which in my case, my data center is West US, cloudapp.azure.com. So notice this, that it has management. That's just for your SSH management, but that's not, if you look at the load balancer and the ports that are open by default, that's not where you're actually gonna serve your web traffic. If you go back to your other load balancer, we'll find the agent load balancer. You actually have a different you have different load balancing roles, and you have a different public IP address for that. With that comes a different public DNS. So you'll notice it's actually the format. There's more of this explained in actually the management connection, where it'll explain that you can access your web applications through web applications in a running container from your Docker Swarm connection through the public DNS name of the Swarm agent load balancer. So you'll have the name of whatever your resource group is with management.westus. That will not be used to serve web traffic. And then you'll have the name of your resource group, or whatever you called your DNS prefix, agents.westus.cloudapp.azure.com. Note the WestUS will change depending on which data center you put your resource group in. But you'll want to make sure that you use this particular public DNS to view your web applications. So with that, there's also an article on the official documentation for Azure Container Service for how to create an SSH tunnel to your Swarm cluster. Because all of the commands we do today as far as how to share data back and forth between containers is going to be performed on your local system, but you're going to set up a tunnel from your Docker CLI on your local system to your Docker Swarm cluster in Azure. And so to do that, we're essentially going to use a command like this, where you use SSH to go through the SSH tunnel for Azure, or the SSH port, which is 2200, and you're gonna route your local port 2375 for your local host to the remote port 2375. So any traffic that goes through 2375 locally is actually gonna be pushed through to the remote server, meaning your Docker Swarm cluster. So an example, I've actually already connected here. So let me actually kill this connection. I've already done a few times here. So we'll go ahead and kill that. So I just killed anything that was listening on port 2375. So now if I go through and type Docker info, I'm actually gonna get an error. If I type Docker PS, I'm gonna get the same error. One of the first things you want to do, it's actually right down here in the documentation, is you want to make sure that you export an environment variable. So you want to create an environment variable for port 2375. So to do that on Linux, you're going to go ahead and do export docker host equals colon 2375. And you can confirm that that worked. There you go. So you can confirm that that worked by making sure that you echo it back. Clear. So now the next thing you're going to want to do is establish that SSH connection. So to do that in this particular instance, to be able to establish that connection, is we're going to go ahead and type in exactly how this command is, but we're going to fill in the user account that I created for this resource group, as well as the DNS prefix for my management address. So we're going to do SSH-F, lowercase f, capital N, capital L. Again, the local port 2375 to localhost to the remote port 2375. And then this SSH session is going to go through port 2200. My user account in this instance is jessacs at, and then my management address, which we can verify is actually this address, jessacs management.westus.cloudapp.azure.com. And so we have jessacs management. We'll make this a little bigger so you guys can see. .westus.cloudapp.azure.com. Now when I press enter, we're not going to get anything back. I didn't put it in verbose mode, but the connection is now established. I didn't get any errors. And we can verify that by typing docker info. Now with docker info, I can see that I do have one node and I do see my swarm agent. If I do docker ps-a, I don't see any particular information, but I'm not getting that error anymore where it's not getting info back. We can do a quick check on, again, our agents, which is where we want to serve web traffic, by running a very simple web application. Let's just run an Nginx image. So we'll do docker run -p80. We're going to serve traffic on port 80. By default, by the way, on the Swarm Agents load balancer, port 80, 8080, and 443 is automatically open. So you don't have to do any additional configuration. So we're going to do docker run -p8080. Nginx. Okay. And now we'll go back and refresh this. And there we go. We do see that the Nginx server, it had to pull the image. And so it took a second or two for that to serve, but we do see that that is properly running. If I close that particular or cancel out of that, cause I didn't run it in detach. So I just stopped that particular container and refresh. Nothing is serving. Okay, so now that we know that that traffic works, let me go ahead and zero this out again and make this a little skinnier. So now we'll go through and actually get on with the meat and potatoes of the video, which is how to do linking user-defined networks and then ultimately using a Docker Compose file. So I have all of these examples available on my GitHub, but in Start, we're going to go ahead and start with our Docker link example. You will have to, aside from exporting that environment variable for Docker host, you will also have to export an environment variable for root password. And then for your WordPress password, your root password will be used for your MySQL, and then your WordPress password will be used for the database in MySQL. So let's go ahead and do that right now. Super secret password here. Okay. So now that those variables are exported, we're going to go ahead and create our MySQL container. That's the first step. We don't have to do anything other than we're running it in a detached mode. We're naming the container and we're assigning the environment variables. Whoops. Okay. So we're going to paste that in and press enter. Great. And so now we can see that that particular container was created. Now the next command we're going to do is going to be to create our WordPress container. But if you notice, it has the dash dash link switch to link your MySQL container or to link your MySQL instance to the container that we just created. So let's go ahead and copy that. Again, we're going to publish the web application to serve traffic on port 80. And before I do that, let me just go ahead and see docker ps-a. Do see Nginx. I'm going to go ahead and kill Nginx real quick so that we don't have anything fighting on port 80. Okay, clear. And so now let's go ahead and paste this command in, press enter. Great. So now let's clear. Let's do a docker ps. I do see both containers. I see my SQL container and my WordPress container. So now if we go back and refresh this, we should be able to see WordPress. And we do. So we can go ahead and press continue. We can go ahead and create our site title, username, password. Let's go ahead and do that just this one time. Of course, I'm going to use a very secure password. And then we'll press install. Okay. And then we can kind of navigate around. Everything's working exactly as a normal WordPress instance would. We know the containers are linked. So let's kind of clean up what we have going on here. Docrm WordPress and MySQL. Okay, clear. So now let's refresh this and we shouldn't see anything. Great, so we broke it. So the next step is gonna be to create an isolated network. Okay, so the first thing we're gonna do is we're gonna create our network and then we'll attach our containers to the network we create. So if we just copy and paste this first command, you'll notice it's Docker network create. We'll specify the type of network, which we're gonna create a bridge network in this instance. So we'll use the driver bridge and then we'll name it JDACS. So if I paste that right over, it will create the network. We can confirm that that network was created by typing Docker network ls and we see our JDACS network right there. Great, and we also notice that everything has the prefix of Swarm Agent. We know we're running these against Swarm, even though we're doing this from our local connection. So now we'll go ahead and create our MySQL container. We see the container was created. Now we'll go ahead and create the WordPress container. Note we're creating both containers in the same network, and I'm specifying another environment variable here. I'm specifying the database host as being MySQL for that container, and then port 3306 for the port that MySQL serves traffic on. Press enter, and we see that that container was created. So now if I do a Docker PS, I see both containers. I see that they're both up. So let's go ahead and refresh the page over here. And I see that that works. So if I press continue, we could go through and install WordPress again the same way we just did. Now let's go ahead and clear up after ourselves. Okay. So I removed any running containers and I removed the network I had created. So if I refresh here, let's probably actually let me clear this out and go back to the main. We don't have anything serving on here because we just killed the containers. So okay. Close this and we'll actually start a new tab. There we go. So nothing's working, nothing's loading. That's fine. We're now going to go ahead and create what we just did, but using a Docker Compose file. With Docker Compose, we don't have to specify anything for the network because it's going to already create a network for your application. The way that it works is you would already have a folder on your system. So for example, in this, I'm actually in my Git repository and there's already a WP for WordPress folder. And if we look at the contents of that, I already have a Docker Compose file. If you had other, say, web applications that you wanted to build, you could also include those in the applications folder, but we're trying to keep this really simple. So I would run Docker Compose from this particular file, and it's gonna build out everything in my Docker Compose file. To give you an example of what that looks like, I'm defining two services, one for MySQL and one for WordPress. I'm using the latest MySQL image for MySQL, and I'm using the latest image for WordPress. Again, I'm specifying the environment variables that I've used in previous examples for both MySQL and for WordPress. I'm serving traffic on port 80, and I'm persisting volumes so that I can be able to access the MySQL information on the volume DB data. So if I go over here and do Docker compose up-d to run it in a detached state, that's gonna go through and create the network, and then it's gonna pull any images it needs to, and then it's also gonna create both containers for MySQL and for WordPress. So pretty much everything that I had to do manually in the user-defined network, a Docker Compose file is gonna do in a more automated process. So this is really helpful if you already have an environment that you want to automate or be able to recreate instantly. This is gonna be one of those instances where you wanna use that. You don't have to worry about building everything out manually, remembering what the commands are. You could just modify your Docker Compose file accordingly and then redeploy with Docker Compose. And we see that that works. So we could go ahead and press continue. We could again enter all our information. We can proceed and set this up normally. That pretty much sums up the three different ways that you can, allow communication or facilitate communication between multiple containers. Another thing that's also helpful is sometimes to know how to troubleshoot if you're having certain issues with your containers. You can do Docker logs and then the name of the container so we can see if we see any particular errors or anything. You can also, some people sometimes want to know how to actually get into their container to be able to run commands against it. So you can do, for example, Docker execute or exec-it for an interactive session, the name of the container, MySQL, for example, and then where you want to go. So you could do bash to get into the bash shell. You can exit out of that. We can run that same command again. Let's say that we wanted to do sh, and now we can just be at the regular shell. Again, exit out of that. We can even run commands against ping and do google.com. We can make sure that that actually has a connection. There's a few different things that you can be able to use, like how to be able to actually log in to your containers and run troubleshooting commands. But definitely the most helpful ones I've found is Docker exec -it to generate an interactive session, and then Docker logs to be able to view actually the log files of your containers. So that's it for our video today. If you have any questions, feel free to hit me up on my blog, jessicadean.com. I'd love to hear from you. Send me an email, jessica.dean, D-E-E-N, at microsoft.com. If you have any questions, I guess my PowerPoint failed. If you have any questions that you would like to have me answer, please do send me an email, send me a comment. I'd love to help you out. Let me know if this worked for you. Have a great day.